We're going to consider John chapter 4, and let's have a word of prayer before we go. Father, in Jesus' name, we bow in this pretty sweet hour.
Yes.
It's kind of unusual, this world, the way it is.
Yes.
Have any kind of a sweet spiritual time. We've got an opportunity, Lord, to be reminded of the glory and grace that you extended to us. Not worthy, not fit to kill. God, you loved us.
How
in the world you could love a bunch like me? And I want to thank you for it. I pray you'll anoint this service this morning. Maybe somebody could be saved, or maybe somebody could just get really renewed. Be a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can be seated if you want to. And I'm going to use John chapter 4 for my text if I get there. I've done a lot of thinking this morning about some statements I made during a Sunday school class. Ben, I maybe consider preaching about it tonight again. Try to go a little further, but I got to thinking about that lamb that was slain as it had been slain.
Yes.
In Revelation 5. Now, I'm going to do 4 here if I can get to it. But it'd be nice for us to meditate a little bit this morning on some things that really bring it home to us, you know.
Right.
The other day I was praying about hell. I was trying to think about hell. What would hell be like? What would just unnerve me? We need to be unnerved about hell.
Yes, sir.
Because there's people going there. And there'll be people in this building right here being hell. If you don't do something, you're going to be there. And the chance is real good you're not going to do anything about it. You know, that's the way the world is. But I thought, wouldn't it be awful? Could you consider hell? Could it possibly be that God would, when they buried your body, put you in that casket, and wound that lock shut on that casket, pull that tool out of there. If God puts your spirit back in your body, and there you are, pinned in that thing about 2 inches from your nose, couldn't raise your hand up, could never see another streak of light, put you down the ground for till eternity, till the judgment. Wouldn't it be awful to think about that? Hell would be a lot worse than that, but I cannot imagine. I watched them bury my aunt. I remember the last time it really got to me. She's not of our faith. She was of a faith that doesn't believe being born again. Well, her husband was, and she went there. I hope she wasn't that faith. Put her in a cold ground, frosty that day. We put her down in that ground. It kind of was a, it was not a froze ground. It was just a frosty ground. And I thought, now there won't be anybody to put their arms around her and keep her warm anymore. It just come to my mind, wouldn't it be awful if she was alive down there? Hell would be a lot worse than that. If you're not saved, you better take care of that or you're going there.
Yeah.
May pull out on that highway in just a few minutes, get hit, and it'd be over. I sat behind a lady in the church I preached in this past week, Her little old body's just shrunk down to just nothing. As they preached, she'd been saved, but I watched her wipe the tears. Told my wife when we left, I said, you know, we're probably not going to see her anymore. She's dwindled down to nothing. But you know, all of us are going down to nothing.
Right.
So if you're not saved, you better take care of it.
Yeah.
Right. I thought about that lamb as it had been slain, John saw, and had the marks of sacrifice on it. His throat was cut, blood was on it. I don't think the blood was on Jesus, but his throat was cut. And it was cut up, it's filleted. And I don't know how bad it was. It was awful. And then it says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this has been a horrible experience for him. But he considered the joy that was set before him to endure that. So it's a joy to him when you get saved.
Amen.
It's such a joy to him that he let them mutilate him. The Bible said he was made to become sin for us who knew no sin. Now you know that's right. I'm not quoting out of turn. What in the world does that mean? What in the world would it mean that if he was made to be sin for us and he knew no sin? We say he bore our sins. He did far more than bearing our sin. He became sin.
That's right.
So now you just tell me what, you tell me where all that goes. Is that murder and idolatry?
Sure.
And rebellion?
Yeah.
And a bad mouth, a filthy mouth? And a rebellious spirit? And a pervert spirit?
Yes, yes.
And a liar, a thief, a cheat?
Right. Yeah.
Arrogance and self-centered, and you just go on and lie. Make you out of paper and write all that in there. He became that so you wouldn't have to. So I'm not so sure, Brother Joel, that he's not going to be pretty emaciated in heaven while we're not. I was just trying to picture that. Put your Bible over there and stand up here a minute. Just stand here a minute. Now look, try to picture what's going to happen. I don't know if this is going to happen. You're not going to be far off. Here's a man, healthy, got every wonderful, everything. He's not got a crippled bone. He's not got a crippled organ. Everything about him is perfect because Jesus died to make him that way.
Yes, he did.
And every time he comes up on Jesus, who's been mutilated by sin, he'll say, "How do you like your new body?" How's that going to make you feel when you look at him and you've got it all? And he's... What a horrible... How are you going to feel about that? I mean, I want to grab him and hug him and say, "I'm sorry you had to do this for me." Wouldn't you do that? I think you'd do that. Wouldn't you do that?
Yes.
I don't understand that kind of love. Oh, I want to know about that love.
That's good right there.
Oh, oh. Oh, boy, to get rid of that pointing your finger, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I was listening to him testify. I thought, "My, me and him's on the same channel. To whom much is forgiven, that's who loves much."
Amen.
If you get the worse you get, the better off you are if you get saved, buddy. That's a shame. You know, these little old guys ain't done a whole lot and got saved. He said, "The guy that's forgiven much loves much." I'm sorry for you if you didn't see it that way, but I got forgiven of a bunch, buddy.
Amen.
I can't ever get over that, buddy. I'm telling you. I'll tell you. Sometimes I just want to look at him and stare up at him. You know, if you just let me see you one time, you'll have to bury me right there, buddy. I don't care if I just see his feet. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss. And poor contempt for all my pride. Ah, what a Savior. Oh, my. Boy, you have an invitation. If you could see it the way I see it this morning, you'd get saved before I could get done. I'd get saved. If I get saved again, I would.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved.
Yes.
To get born again.
Yes.
And it's not of man, it's of God.
Right.
It's a redemption that he performs.
Yes. Yes.
Let's give you a few thoughts from John 4. Maybe you can get in on it. Chapter 4, verse 20. Not going to read the whole thing, but you know Jesus. I believe. Let me go down here and show you a verse here, I see. Somewhere in verse 4, look at verse 4. I'm just going to give you some things about out there that just really speak to my heart. The Bible said he must needs go through Samaria. They didn't have anything to do. You know, if you've done been preached to for years, you know things about the Bible. They didn't go through Samaria. It was a mixed breed of people. And here's how it was. The Assyrian came to that area, the northern kingdom, when the kingdom split under Solomon's son, split. They went one way and the southern kingdom went another in their dedication. Northern kingdom got so bad, the Assyrians come and took them away captive. Well, it comes such horrible droughts and things. They couldn't make their crops grow. They just defeated everywhere. So they sent to the captain, the president, and said, the gods are not pleased. We violated the gods. We got them mad at us. Send us a priest back here and tell us how to worship God. So they picked a priest out and sent it to Samaria, and they mixed their bad religion with the real thing, and they ended up with a mixture of Jewish religion and their own. It was a mixture. And God absolutely does not want you mixing Him with no other God.
Amen.
So they had this mess, and the southern outfit would not have anything to do with the other. It's because they had a perverted business. But it says, and they didn't go through that area. They did not do it. In verse number 4 of that chapter, Jesus needs to go through Samaria. And we all know what happened. He got down to the well. He sent the fellas into town to buy some McDonald's rest or some hamburgers or whatever they had.
Yeah.
And he stayed at that well, and this woman comes out to get water. And she don't think much of him.
Yeah.
And she kind of sarcastically says, he said, give me, I said, well, you're a man, a Jew, talk to a woman, a Samaritan. Kind of derogatory. In a few minutes, she said, sir. She kind of changed her tune a little bit.
No.
In a little bit, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She's just making her way, and he's telling her. She said, I want some of this water you got right here. So we'll go get your husband. And when she said, I don't have a husband. She said, well, yeah, you got a husband. You got four or five. And the one you're with, it's not your husband. Six men had said, I love you, and it didn't work, but the seventh man's come now.
Amen. Yeah.
And he said, I love you, man.
Thank God.
And you just look, this woman didn't even like him. And now she says, you know when Messiah comes, you know he's going to tell you. She said, I just speak to them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And buddy, she took out a running, left the water pots a running, and said, well, I found him. And they, of course, they all, a bunch of them got saved. Now you just stop and think about the great truths expressed in this verse. He said in verse number 4, he must needs go through Samaria. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. He can see your need before you tell him.
That's right.
This woman did not express any need at all. She's had an arrogant spirit about her. She's not even, you could not tell she wanted anything. You just don't know what's going on in people's lives. Ain't that right?
Right. Yeah.
And she didn't really express herself, but he saw inside that covering she had, that hard covering. You know, she's bound to be hard. Five husbands living with a man. She's got to be ridiculed, all kinds of things. She's got a bull hide. And God sees past the bull hide and sees that little heart crying made up.
Amen.
Now, you know he did, because that's ain't no other reason him go through Samaria. It wasn't a shortcut to McDonald's, I'm telling you, buddy. He went through there for a purpose. He had a reason to go through there. I'm glad he knows where he's going and who's there when he gets there. Amen. And I'm glad he don't quit the first time you tell him to leave you alone. Amen. And he said, I want some water.
Oh, yeah.
She said, how is it you didn't talk to me? So he said, well, she said, well, we worship this mountain, y'all worship down there. And you know what he said right there? He said, it don't matter where you worship, it's how you worship.
That's right.
That's really right.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we know that salvation of the Jews, but he said, the hour's coming. I want you to look at that right there. Look at verse 21. It said, the hour cometh. Verse 23 said, the hour cometh, and now is. Now, I studied that, Brother Joel. And that, in all them words, you know what they mean? Listen to this, buddy. You wouldn't catch that if you didn't just stop and think about it. He said, the hour cometh. That means not here yet.
That's right.
But in that next verse, he said, it's here now.
Amen.
Good night. What? Y'all stop and think about that a bit. Whoa! One of these days, he's standing over on the edge of heaven saying, it's coming. It's coming. About that time, buddy, the Holy Father hits the button and said it. Now it is. Boom! And I'm out of here, buddy. You can finish the message when I'm gone. Amen. Ain't that good? I mean, oh my. You just stop thinking about that. Whatever happened right there that day, it was a great, it's like a door hinge. You're on one side, and all of a sudden you're on the other side. I mean, this is a great transaction that's taking place here. this Gentile's about to get, about to enter something that the Jews only get.
That's right. Yeah.
Good grief, what is happening here? That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The hour is coming.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. You know, he said the hour is coming. And then now he is. Oh, man alive. We've talked about the second coming. We've talked about a lot of things. Just for instance, this morning, there may be somebody sitting here lost. He's saying, the hour is coming.
Yeah.
Boy, about the time that heart is convinced. And they said, this is the end. I'm going right now.
Yeah.
Now he is.
Yeah.
But he'll save you. Oh, my. It's a whole new game after that.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So I'm glad that God can see the need without you telling everybody. And I'd like you to tell me so I can help you. But if you don't tell me, I know somebody can see it anyway.
Right.
And he'll fix up the circumstances so he can dig around on you until he can bring it up until you're tender enough to say, I want this water.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah. What a God.
Yes, right.
The hour in this transition comes. And it's a wonderful thing. Then he said, he made some statements that I just feel like, church, we're going to have to get with him. We got to get with him. I wish you'd get with him. I want my church to get with him. If we had just a church every now and then that would get with him, we may could turn this thing around.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you how magnetic real Christianity is. Buddy, when real Christianity makes others want it.
That's right.
I'm not talking about this mully grubbing funeral home business.
Amen.
I'm talking about being glad you're saved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Now, you may not realize that salvation is a God-done thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And the strength of God's people is the joy of the Lord is their strength. That's what Nehemiah said. And you know that we can't come to church with this defeated attitude. You better get in your mind that the storm you're going through, you will make it.
That's right.
All you say, I hadn't made it yet. You made enough of them to know that you are going to make it.
Yeah.
I just thought about preaching on walking on water this morning. Them guys singing that song about that storm. I want to tell you, I thought about that. No, oh, okay, that prodigal son.
Yeah.
Thought about preaching on him. Hey, America's prodigal.
Yeah, it is.
You know when they're going to come back to Father? When they get that hog pen business in their life. When we get unsucking slop, we'll size the time and go home.
Amen.
That's right. When our president and all of our senators and all of our congressmen get tired of sucking slop, they'll say, I know a better place, buddy. I know of a better place.
Amen.
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 That's right.
And they ain't going to go home until he gets there. If we can talk them into turning around, this is what I believe. I thought about this the other day, prayed about it. I believe you'd get just one or two churches in every community that really figured out what this is all about. It'd just about draw that whole community in it. I believe that. What we have is real. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't no doubt about it. You know what the other day, the scientists, I found out this the other day, didn't know it. They're looking for other suns and other earths and other things, and they're naming all them galaxies, and there's so many out there, they just quit. You hear what I'm saying? They just quit. I tell you, it's time for them to quit a lot of things. Amen. Figure out how I got here. Oh, you ain't going to figure it out. Just quit. We know a better way. You ain't going to never explain two eyes on a man. How you going to explain two eyes on a man? God said so he can see in distance. Foolishness. How'd a man figure out to say, I need two eyes to figure out how far away I am? Where them two eyes meet, say, that's 300 feet right there. That's foolishness. When are we going to quit that? God, listen, that prodigal boy had to get the hog pen before he went home. And this mess we're in, the hog pen, it's time for us to go home.
Right.
When you realize that you're living your life in a mess and you ain't never going to get anywhere but hog pen out of it, go home.
That's right.
Yeah. Boy said exactly what was right. A sin against heaven, that's exactly who you sinned against. What, your daddy, mama, your wife, your husband, your kids? It was God you sinned against.
Yeah.
Sinned against heaven. I sinned in your sight. You saw what I did. I made a mess of it. I sinned against God. I blew it with you. I'm not worthy to be whatever I was to you. Just let me sweep the floor and wipe your feet.
Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody get saved, that's how they feel about it.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
So this woman, she said, well, worship. Oh, you don't know what you're worshiping. It's not down there, It's in. It's where. It's how you worship. And then he made this wonderful statement. He said, they that worship God must worship Him, spirit, truth.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to tell you, I've been preaching since 1970. What is that? 43 years. And I'm going to tell you what I believe I've learned in 43 years. You are listening to me. If you don't listen to me, it's your loss, not mine. And three elements right there better be in a church or you ain't going to draw nobody.
That's right.
Yep. If you're not in here with a real heart, forget it.
Right.
He said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You can't get in here and get religion and have other stuff too.
Right.
I got a gun to hunt turkeys and deer and drive my car, and I got a Bronco and I love to mud run through mud bogs. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If Jesus came along in the middle of the biggest mud bog in Georgia and said, why don't you get out and come with me? I'd leave her parked in the mud bog.
Amen.
I got a 9-foot steel lathe, and I got a little bitty lathe and a little bitty mill, and I love to work steel, and I made knives for 50 years of my life. I can do anything, weld or anything, but if it don't matter what I've got, I cannot take a one thing that if Jesus came up and said it's time to go, I wouldn't lay her down and leave. I just love Him so much. It's in all my heart. It's in all my heart, Brother Joel. It's in all. I don't care about another thing. All I want is Him. But He lets me have all that other stuff. I got weed ears and I mow my grass and do all that stuff. I got a pond, got fish, got a swimming pool like that. I'm way back in the woods. I don't mix bathe. They don't like that junk. But anyway, you know what I mean? I just got everything. But buddy, Jesus, He won't deny you that stuff, but He cannot take second fiddle to it.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
A lot of men put hunting and they hunt to, that's their God.
Right. Yeah.
I know a man, I said to him, I had him do some work on our land. I give him the trees on the land. He comes by and I said, you ever turkey hunt? I talked to him about the Lord. I wanted to break ice. I talked turkey. Yeah, turkey hunt. Yeah, I love turkey hunt. Next thing you know, I found out that was his God. There wasn't no way getting him in church. He's teaching his little boy to turkey hunt. Making a little idolatry out of his little boy.
Yeah.
Just ruining him. Ruined. That's all I've been before being ruined. Ruined.
Yeah.
It's with all of your heart. If you're here this morning and all it is a ritual, you're not wasting your time because God can see past that front if you need Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spirit is a little S. Go look at your verse.
Sure.
It means your heart. And truth means you're going to have to do it according to that book.
That's right.
When you get out of that book, I had an experience with the Lord. You say, well, you find it in the book. If you ain't got a book, you didn't have
Amen.
One. Devil can do anything he wants to you if you're not going to meter it by that book.
Right.
So it's got to be in spirit. And it's got to be in truth. And then you have to worship.
Yes, sir.
And worship is, this is what they said in, this is what all the dictionaries say in the East. They get down on their knees and put their face on the head on the ground when a superior comes in their presence.
Yes.
Or a dog, when you walk up and your old dog comes around and licks your hand. That's a picture of worship.
Yeah.
Or you kiss their hand. You know, a lot of them kiss the hand of their queen or their king. And when are we ever going to do that in the church?
Right.
If that's what worship is.
Yes, it is.
It's praising Him for what He did.
Yes.
It's thanking Him for how He's treated you.
Right.
It's telling Him what you think of Him, how you love Him. Now, if you have a love affair, if any of you have had a love affair, obviously there's some marriages in here, so somewhere it started. How did you get that thing started?
Yeah.
It said in Ephesian church, they've lost that.
Right.
They lost their first love, just the same as a man and woman quit loving each other like they ought to.
Right.
It becomes old hat, wore out, tired. You don't flirt with each other anymore. You don't buy each other things. You don't say sweet things to each other. Just two people sitting in the same room.
Right.
Get in on one side of the bed, get on the other side of the bed, get out. hit the tape recorder. The tape recorder says got a continuous loop tape on. Said, I love you. 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 Hung up. Don't mean a thing of it. Don't mean a thing of it.
Right.
I know it's right.
Yeah.
So this setup here, here's a woman. Showed a hard front, but God saw and He's magnetized toward her. He comes right through that city, right to that well. I drank water out of that well years and years ago. The others got away. He met that heart that had been covered up with years of sin. He insisted. And He began to deal with that cyst and pulling it apart. And little by little, He got down to that tender, warm, broken something inside of her. And said, I've got something that you need.
Yes, sir.
And she said, I want it.
Yes, sir.
And He dealt with issues in her life so she'd realize that she didn't deserve it. Five husbands. Well, really what she is is a harlot.
Yeah.
He never did use the word, did he?
No.
I remember when they brought a woman to him and said, she's caught in the very act. Never did degrade her.
No, he didn't.
But I can see, Brother Joel, I don't know how you picture that. If you don't get in the Scriptures, you won't get the Scriptures like they're meant. You've got to get in it. You've got to be part of the picture. I see him here. I see him here somehow not standing up, but more or less got his attention on this woman. And here's three or four men standing here they keep the law. Paul said, I never broke the law. He said, I was perfect. I was a Pharisee. And hadn't broke the law. That's what Paul said. So that's how they felt.
Yeah.
So we caught this woman. Caught her in the very act. What do you think we ought to do to her? Here's these three or four men. Here's this woman that knows what she is. These three or four men don't know what they are. I can hear his voice. Somehow I came to my own. Are y'all looking at me here? I came to my own, and my own received me not.
Yeah.
But to as many as received.
Amen.
Bowed down in the dirt and began to scratch. I don't know what he wrote in the land of sand. I wish we had a plaster Paris cast of it. He may have not said anything. But what he did inside those men's heart, he said, he that's without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Somehow he jerked that, he cracked that hard face in them and found that tender place in them and said... And that oldest one left first, the one that was most experienced.
Yeah.
And that young one looked around and said, if old so-and-so's left, what am I doing here? And finally they all left.
Yeah.
He said, where's your accuser? She said, they're not in here now. He said, I don't either.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you worship a God to do that?
Amen.
What would make you embarrassed to hold your hands up and say, God found me in my filth. God found me in my filth, and instead of throwing me in a pit where I belong, He gave grace to me and brought me to Himself. What would make me embarrassed to say, glory to God! Praise the good Lord! Hallelujah! He loved a sinner! He loved... If you're looking for a sinner, I qualify, buddy. That's what we need to do this morning in church.
Yes.
I was years ago, I was up in Pennsylvania. A fellow was preaching a tent meeting. I don't know if I can find the verse. It's about last verse of Isaiah. This boy's going to preach. He's an evangelist. He's going to preach. And I was sitting back in the tent. He read this verse. And it said, unto this man will I look. Anybody remember that verse? He that is a contrite spirit and broken in a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
It's about 60. Here it is right here, 66, got marked. But to this man will I look. I was so depressed. I remember all my sins. Anybody like that?
Yes,
I remember my filthy record. I remember it all. I mean, I'm talking about, buddy, I got saved when I was 13, but I got a conviction when I was 7. And I knew where I was going when I was 7 years old. And my mother could make a boar hog repent, but I wasn't afraid of my mother. Buddy, it was God. I knew I was going to hell, and hell in its wicked, wild, vile, awful judgment was my lot in life.
Yes, sir.
I figured I'd send away any hope I had. I can remember the sins from 7 years old to 71 years.
Yes, sir. Right, me too. Yes.
And I say, Lord, is this a mirage? Am I reading something in Scripture that's not in there?
Oh,
grace? You mean you saved by grace and not... You mean Romans 7? It really happened to anybody but me? That what I would do, I don't do. And that I wouldn't do, I do. And when I would do good, evil's present. Is there anybody listening to that? Do you ever feel that way?
Yes.
And I'm sitting in this tent meeting just... dealing with my own life.
Yes, sir.
I can't accuse nobody else. I'm worse than you are, as far as I know.
God help us.
But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, why, and have nothing to brag about, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at his word. That boy read that as a text. Brother Joel Height, that boy read that as a text. And when he did, I got the word.
Amen.
You ever get it?
Yeah.
The word, it just hit me. And I started shouting. And the boy tried to read his text, and he couldn't read his text. I just went wild inside that tent. He couldn't read his Bible. He couldn't preach or nothing. I just kept going. I tried to stop. I couldn't stop. He was talking about me, poor, contrite, trembleth at his word. I read that word, and I don't measure up. I'm trembling at it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Poor, contrite, trembling. And he said, that's the guy I'm looking to.
Amen.
And I just kept shouting and shouting. And finally, boy, closed his Bible and quit preaching. God delivered me that day.
Yeah.
Hey, church, listen. Do you not see that? Feel that in your heart? You're not worthy.
That's right.
But if you just got a broken and a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
And you read that book and say, I don't measure up, but I want to. Romans 7, that's what's happened in Romans 7. If you'll have a Romans 7 attitude, you'll get a Romans 8 reality.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. How are you going to accuse a man when the guy that owns him has delivered him?
Amen.
And what are you going to say to a man that says, all points I'm guilty?
Yes,
sir. So what do you think I ought to do? I said, I know what you ought to do. If you don't do it, it'll be grace. But if you do it, I won't fuss with you. Amen.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to ask you something this morning. Don't you want to come and pray about all that?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in here lost, or maybe you're just defeated. You just think, this can't be true.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've been saved 58 years.
Yeah.
And I have not arrived. And I sometimes wonder if I hadn't went backwards instead of forward.
Yeah, me too.
Wouldn't you like to know that God loves you just because of your attitude, not of how successful you are?
Amen.
Just because you want Him to take you into His love. Wouldn't you like to praise Him for that and bless Him? Won't you just bow your head for a minute and let me pray with you? I don't know if you got anything much out of them preaching. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, God, let your people see the reality of your grace. Oh, Lord, if I could say it any way, Lord, like an angel, I would say it. If I could say it in any manner of form, but let people understand that you're interested in sinners. And Lord, we ain't done a bit of good. In 6,000 years, we have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And I don't see how we're going to do anything if it's not a grace thing. And so I pray, God, that you'll help us to enjoy the long-reaching love and grace and gracious hand of God. Save and redeem and revive and rekindle fires on our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. I'll thank you. We'll thank you. In the precious, precious name of the Lamb that was slain. All that horror that you went through to get me saved. In that name, hallelujah, amen. I guess we'll stand together.